If you don't sit in your lucky seat, your team could lose. So don't leave your lucky seat. But do pick up your phone or computer and order B-dubs to go. Or if you've got a big group, call in for the party menu. That way you can order wings, pick them up, and get back to your lucky seat. And if you do lose while sitting in your lucky seat, you can still feel lucky eating your feelings. Spicy feelings. Keep your superstitions. We do it for you. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 373 of the New York Knicks podcast, part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. I am Jay, with me as always is Mark, and special guest, the great Robert Silverman. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Pretty good. So let me start the show by asking you, the Knicks now, Phil Jackson said he'd bring this team, he'd bring this team, make this team great again. We are tied.
Don't use that language. All right, I got to stop you right there. Before we go any further, the mocking co-opting of Trump's language in order to denigrate his like fourth grade reading levels bugs me to no end. People should stop punctuating tweets with sad, and any headline in any article that includes make X great again drives me to a spittle-flecked rage, because mocking his language only perpetuates his language. So saying the Knicks should be made great again, no. You lost me there.
How about this? Phil Jackson said he was going to bring hope and change to the Knicks.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, good. Much better.
We're tied for seventh place. Do you think we have a shot? Can we move up the ranks? Can we get to fifth, fourth, or third place in the draft?
Sure. I think they could. I mean, they're dealing with the Sacramentos and the Dallases of the world, who could easily go on a hot streak, and I don't think this team can. So yeah, they could get a couple more ping pong balls. That's definitely in the cards.
Is it? Are you excited for where we are in 3 years? The Sixers have spent the last 3 years trying to be horrific to get high draft pick. The Knicks have spent the last 3 years, in some manner, trying to compete, and we're kind of dead even with the Sixers, as this week has proven. Is that a weird cross where we're kind of dead even with the team that's been going and trying to go in the opposite direction of us?
Look, the best laid plans of mice and men don't always work out like. Or rather, the best laid plans of mice and men don't always work out the way you think. There's a bit of a, you know, I was on a panel with Howard Beck and Harvey Arrett the other day as part of Varsity Letters, and they were talking about, you know, how has this quote unquote rebuild worked, and Howard made the assertion that the problem is he hasn't ever really attempted a proper rebuild. And has vacillated between trying to win now and rebuilding. And I kind of disagreed. I think save for, dumping Shump and J.R. Smith, he's kind of always built a win now team, and it's just never actually worked. I don't think much of Phil Jackson as an executive. I mean, I give him credit. He snagged some interesting fringe pieces here and there. I will give him all the credit for drafting Kristaps, although if Okafor had dropped, he would have taken him. Or if the Knicks had finished third, they would have taken Okafor over Porzingis. So there's a little luck there, to be sure. But
did you
I think Phil Jackson is a colossal fraud. No, I do.
No. Hold back, please.
Yeah. No, I think for all of Phil Jackson's talk about basketball's spiritual inquiry, there is no less Zen person on the planet than Phil Jackson. Well, there is no less narcissistic, ego-fueled human being on the planet than Phil Jackson. And he speaks a very good game, one that I'm often inclined to agree with, except for the whole shit about Maslow and Rogers and the human chain of need, which is some seriously debunked, unprovable psychology, but we won't get into that. But Phil Jackson, I do not believe in Phil Jackson as the great spiritualist he likes to portray himself as. I think he's David Horowitz, if you want to know what I think.
Well, let me ask you a question. So speaking of Howard Beck and Phil Jackson, Beck actually sent a tweet. I'm not sure if you saw this. David Griffin said that we got Iman Shumpert without giving up a first-round pick because we were willing to take on J.R. Smith.
What?
How do you feel about the fact that now, assuming this is true, Phil Jackson turned down a first-round pick from Cleveland in the Shumpert trade? In lieu of that, he said just take J.R. Smith's gigantic, huge $6 million a year contract.
Well, yeah, that might have been a misplay. There was rumors that he took an early second rather than get Jay Crowder from the Dallas Mavericks. And that's another goof in retrospect. But yeah, look, there was a lot of talk about Iman Shumpert's contract. There was a talk of dumping him for a first rounder on Oklahoma City way back when, that they were going to get a first for him. You know what? All things considered, that deal was fine. And if Lance Thomas was healthy, I think that deal would look even better. As far as Phil Jackson bad trades go, that's a minor one.
Do you think Phil Jackson was hired, even though he had lots of rings and had proved himself as an NBA player and and one of the greatest coaches ever, he was hired to do a job he had almost pretty much zero experience in. And now Magic Johnson just got the job to be team president in LA, zero experience.
That'll work out great.
Yeah. Why do you think teams hire guys with so little experience? Like trusting people?
Look, the Knicks basic modus operandi has been star fucking since Phil Jackson and Red Holzman were around. Basically, the Knicks have chased stars for the last 35 years, and it's never worked. And it won't ever work.
Well, in defense of the Knicks' strategy, just to play devil's advocate here, wouldn't you say 100% of teams that win the title have stars? So the Knicks should chase stars.
Yeah, no. When I say star fucking, I mean they try to get stars once they're always stars. They haven't tried to build their own stars.
I get that. Yeah, I mean you usually, most of the time you have to find guys that are young and develop them, and then they become stars, and that's how you win the title in the NBA. There are very few examples where you get guys like a Miami Heat example where you get those guys.
Look, they did it. It's happened at least once. David Stern rigged the lottery and they got Patrick Ewing and they failed to really do the best job of building around him as they could. And Ewing was kind of a flawed star in and of himself, a great player, but still had some serious glaring flaws and it didn't work out, but they were a playoff bound, really good team for, 13 years.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good run.
Do you think the NBA should rig the draft? It's rigged every year. But do you think the NBA should choose the Knicks as part of the rigged draft and give them the first-round pick this year?
No, there's no need to. I mean, look, years ago there was a need for teams to be good in New York and L.A. and maybe Chicago as a third city. That was a very important thing. But there's no need for the New York market. The Knicks don't need to be really good for the NBA to succeed. That's one of the greatest tricks that David Stern ever pulled, was to figure out how to way to be profitable without the major media markets necessarily being good. The Knicks are the most valuable franchise in the NBA, and they've been awful and or a horrible joke for the last 17 years. There's no need to. In 1985, you did need to do that. You don't need to do that anymore. There's no need for Silver to give the Knicks, Markelle Fultz or Lonzo Ball.
Well, part of the issue is that Knicks fans go to the games. Basically, the Knicks fans buy the tickets.
No. I'm going to stop you right there. It's nothing to do with going to the games. Going to the games is meaningless. The Knicks make their money because of the MSG network.
So the issue is that we keep watching the games.
If you want to look at the finance, no, it's not even watching. Watch or not, doesn't really matter. The MSG network, look, if you want to look at it in the most cynical way, the Knicks and Rangers exist so that the MSG network has programming to show. And bundled basic cable fees are where the MSG network makes the vast majority of its money. There are all kinds of people in New York City who pay cable fees who will never turn into a Knicks game.
Fair. But it's
and
one of those things also.
They earn their money.
In the day now of everything being on Netflix and live programming being like basically solid gold right now.
There are cable cutters, and those ones, I think, in the next 10 years may be in jeopardy. But for now, go look at the MSG company's quarterly report and see where their money comes from. It's not from fans showing up at the Garden. Now, granted, they do have the largest market from which to draw on in the United States. And even if a huge bunch of people walk away, you know, the Garden is still going to be packed just because there are so many people there. But cable is where the Knicks make their money. And that has nothing to do with people turning into watch.
So what has to happen for things to change? Or it doesn't really matter?
No, it'll never change. The woman will never sell. And as long as he's in charge, it'll never change.
Okay.
Look, if Dolan sold today, the Forbes has them valued at, I think, about 3 point something billion, but they'll go for more than that. We're talking 5 billion easy.
We talked about on the show also, there's no reason for Dolan to ever sell. I mean, if you get $5 billion, what do you want to do with that $5 billion? You want to buy a sports franchise. You can live out your like childhood dream.
Look,
he's already got that.
Dolan will never, ever sell. As long as he's alive, he will never sell. So, and as long as he's in charge, nothing will change.
Okay, let's talk about the current Knicks team. So this week, they played the because that stuff is just that's I know Dolan's here for life. What am I gonna do? They lost to the Raptors. They beat the Magic, lost to the Sixers, and lost to the Warriors today. A bunch of close games. The Knicks are looking a little better lately.
They have their moments. It's a very weird team to track. I mean, today was Ron Baker Day, and that was fun for everybody. Ron Baker is, of course, the best player in the NBA. Everybody knows this. Ron, oh God, look, if you want to credit Phil Jackson and the scouting staff and the coaching staff. Ron Baker looks like he could be an NBA rotation player. That's a nice thing to pick up as an undrafted free agent. And, you know, he looks like, you know, the guy from the movie The Mask.
Well,
Jim Carrey The Mask, the other movie The Mask.
Someone made a joke on one point in our show saying that he looked like he'd be working in an ice cream store with the old ice cream uniform. Like I was like, wow, that kind of just nails.
Yeah, he looks like a character from the reboot of Archie and Jughead. You know, the sexy Archie and Jughead, the dark reboot of Archie and Jughead.
Christopher Nolan reimagined Archie and Jughead. That's what it kind of looks like. Here's a question for you.
There was a very good tweet about someone like walking into a TV executive's office and pitching the show. And pardon me, I think I'm going to work a little blue now. And the guy goes, "So you remember Archie, right? TV executive, yeah. Okay, get this, Archie, who fucks." Cigar drops from TV executive's lips. End tweet. What was the pitch for the new Riverdale High TV show?
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. I see the preview for it. Look, that sounds about right.
It's a little dark. I don't want my Archie running dark. Come on, not everything needs to be a gritty reboot.
Well, but actually,
Ron Baker is a nice combo guard, and the benches did better without Brandon Jennings, which makes me sad because Brandon Jennings was as Knickish a player as we've had in a long time.
Just to let you know, the most for next season for CW, the pitch, what they, I don't know if they're producing it, but the pitch the guy went in the office with was Fraggle Rock on cocaine.
Those guys were on the booger sugar already. Come on.
So here's the question. So Derrick Rose played 35 minutes today against Golden State. He's been playing a lot.
Yeah.
Why not let Derrick Rose play 0 minutes the rest of the season and just feature Ron Baker and Randall? What is Rose is not going to be on the team next year.
No,
please.
No, he's not.
So what's the point of playing
him? I mean, I think they should have released him for the March 1st. Just to see if he could catch on with the playoff team. There's no reason to have Derrick Rose around.
The only value I heard is that if another team wants to get him, you can do a sign and trade.
Here's the reason why. Even on nights on consecutive games where Rose has gotten double digit trips to the free throw line, he's such a bad defensive player that he ends up being a negative on the court. His plus minus still ends up being a negative when he's in the game because Derrick Rose can't guard anybody.
So he's too helpful for the tank.
If you're rooting for the tank, you want to keep running Derrick Rose out there for 35-plus minutes a game.
Well, the Knicks have his bird rights, so they could, if a team wants him, they can work a sign-and-trade to get something for him.
Nobody's doing a sign-and-trade for Derrick Rose at this point. Not even Tom Thibodeau with the Vapors is doing a sign-and-trade for Derrick Rose's bird rights. No, guys, he's gonna get a Rajon Rondo like prove it contract, 2 years with the second year non guaranteed, like $12 million per. That's what Derrick Rose is gonna get, and the Knicks holding his bird rights isn't gonna net them much of an asset.
I think Phil will be like, we'll just offer him 3 years, $60 million. He'll never take it.
He might. I think the incident where he bailed for Chicago in the middle of the year might have been the death knell. Plus, he's constantly speaking to the press about how much he hates playing this system. I would be surprised if they give him any kind of an offer whatsoever.
But forgetting that idea, forgetting the fact that Rose is good for the tank, wouldn't it just be better for our team to see what you have with Baker and Randall? Play Baker and Randall 25 to 30 minutes a night?
It probably would, but
like, get Endor out there. Shouldn't they be playing these guys? Endor, find out what Endor is. Like, if he's going to be on the team next year, Endor, figure out what he is.
They'll get to that point once they're mathematically eliminated. I think...
You mean like 3 weeks ago?
I think there is... If you want to give the Knicks an excuse, here's one. Benching Rose while he's still on contract would piss off a lot of other people in the NBA and a lot of other free agents. Not like people are clamoring to come to New York after they threw Charles Oakley in the pokey, but and have to deal with Phil Jackson constantly throwing shade to players on Twitter. But
I mean,
letting Rose play is a karma building exercise, and it does look like they're doing right by their veterans. So
they released Jennings, you could easily release Rose and just call it a day, and that would be more of a car.
You could, but he wouldn't be eligible to play for a playoff roster at this point.
Right, but I mean, what playoff roster really even wants him?
I think you could find a team that could make use of Rose as a scoring guard off the bench.
No,
I think
he
could be valuable that way. The role for Derrick Rose is right now is a scoring guard off the bench, and I think in that role, he playing on a second unit where his defensive liabilities aren't as much of a problem. I think you could find a way for Derrick Rose to be valuable too,
like a Jamal Crawford kind of role.
Yes, but no one is adorable as Jamal. He'll never be as adorbs as Jamal.
So, but also, don't you think we've already kind of ruined the well as far as like free agents coming here, like at least big name free agents in the sense. Well, I mean,
building up a couple of karma points. It's worth like trying to repair whatever burned bridges they've got, and not do Rose dirty by releasing him now, as opposed to before March 1st or planting his ass on the bench. So, you know what? Again, it would be nice to find out what they have in chase on Randall. I wouldn't be entirely surprised if Rose comes down with an injury that keeps him out for the last 2-3 weeks, though.
I mean, that'd be I mean, not nice for someone to be injured.
An injury. And I'm putting that word injury in quotes. Like, an injury that keeps him out.
It just seems like they should be playing, like, Justin Holliday should be getting 30 minutes a night now. Like, find out what you have with this roster.
I think they know what they have with Justin Holliday. Justin Holliday's fine. He deserves to be resigned.
Yeah,
Justin Holliday is a nice 3-and-D piece. And resign Justin Holliday. I like Justin Holliday.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree. I think he was a nice – I mean, apparently he's all we got in that trade, but, like, he's a nice piece. He's a good, solid role player off the bench.
Yeah, as an 8th or 9th guy, you could do worse than Justin Holliday.
Does it frustrate you with this team at all, though, that they don't seem – like, why, like valuing playing Rose over just, like, playing the young guys or, like, trying to – valuing keeping Sasha over, say, signing some 10-day contract with some D-League guys? Does that frustrate you at all?
Sasha is there to be Kristaps' friend. That's his job. His job is to be Kristaps' friend, and he's doing a fine job of it. Why would you cut that?
Do you ever remember the commercial, like this like little doll the kid holds, and like if they go, my buddy, wherever he goes, I want to go. Do you think?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. That's weird.
It was a commercial. Do you think Porzingis holds Sasha and brings him around, going, calling my buddy,
no,
my
buddy?
No, this
is getting weird. No, I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's getting weird.
Look up the mic. It's a funny. Let's talk about some positives. What do you think? Porzingis is playing a little better lately. Has this been?
Yeah.
As far as the season for Porzingis, if you had to rate it, as far as like taking the next. Like, is it been?
Yeah, it's been a B minus C plus season for Porzingis. He's stepped up his game in a lot of ways. He's fell off in a couple of weird ways. His rebounding has gotten worse. And I think that's partially due to the fact that Robin Lopez was really underrated and did a great job of boxing out and allowing other people to snag rebounds. He hasn't been as active as a weak side defender. And that's fallen off a little, but he's added things to his offensive game. He's a far better finisher when he gets to the rim. Everything's going fine as far as Porzingis goes. Look, Porzingis even praised the triangle offense the other day. And I think if you told Kristaps we're running the kicking puppies offense, he would praise that as well. But Kristaps is fine. For all of the shittiness of the season, like very little of that shit has stuck to Kristaps. And I think development-wise, a season when he finishes averaging 18 points and 7 rebounds and 2 blocks in 33 minutes on a developmental curve is absolutely fine. And everyone should feel very good about Kristaps. Kristaps is doing fine. And the positives of the season are this. Kristaps' development continues apace. His injuries that he's had to deal with, none of them are the really scary Joel Embiid type where you're worried about him. And again, it's worth looking at the history of NBA guys who are taller than 7'2", or 7'2", or taller.
Yeah.
There are, I think, something like 11 guys 7'2", or taller that have lasted 10 years. In the entire history of the NBA. And one of them is Kareem.
So, I mean, he could play the 40 years
tall
like
guys,
Kareem.
Yeah. Tall guys, yes, he could be Kareem, but tall guys don't last. What you haven't seen is the debilitating feet, leg, ankle injuries that makes you really worry about the amount of punishment he's taking. He's doing fine. Look, Rick Smith lasted a long time. After some bad injuries, you know, Sadrunas Ilgauskas lasted a long time. Those examples do exist. But you feel good about Kristaps and where he's going. Billy Hernan Gomez looks like a nice piece. Ron Baker might be a rotation player. Justin Holliday looks like a nice piece. Courtney Lee can do this very serviceable 3-and-D thing probably for another couple of years. It looks like he'll prove his value on that contract. Those things look great because Minsk is doing his, you know, kind of foreign, just, you know, Mike Dunleavy imitation, and I think he could be a nice player off the bench. Those are the positives.
Do you think Hernan Gomez has the potential to be a starting center?
Maybe.
Maybe.
He's
you don't seem that high.
Defense, he started out as he looked like he was going to be a terrible defensive player, like a David Lee bad defensive player is how bad he looked. And he's gotten better. And I think, yeah, the ceiling is starting center on a good team for Hernan Gomez. And that's a pretty high ceiling for a late second round pick. That's great.
Do you think he was an early, I mean, not that it matters. He was an early second round pick.
Early second round pick.
Yeah. Do you think, so going forward, can the Knicks try to build with Porzingis at the four and Hernan Gomez at the five? Could you build around those two?
Yeah, sure you could.
And how would you build?
How would you build? They need wings and they need a starting point guard. I mean, the goal on this draft is to look at whether it's Frank, I think it's Nikitina, or De'Aaron Fox, or maybe Dennis Smith, and see which player lands in the 5 to 7 range, which is where you hope they land. And you pick the best one and you move from there.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it'd be nice if they could build a more defensive-oriented team.
Well, look, I think Kristaps is a good rim protector right now.
Yeah.
You can get an offensive-minded four next to him. Even if that offensive-minded four is Carmelo Anthony, if you have a 3-and-D small forward, a 3-and-D two, and a point guard that isn't a sieve.
You need guys to play. I mean, the thing is also the team, it's like...
Which is why, by the way, I would have loved if they could have pulled off the Rose-Rubio swap.
That would have been nice.
It would have. One, just because I don't trust Phil Jackson to do the right thing with any cap space. And I think Rubio is better than any player than they could get with that cap space.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he has a reasonable
Rubio,
enough contract.
Even shooting like 39% is an underrated NBA player. Also, he's fun.
Yeah.
And I'm here to root for fun.
I mean, the Knicks haven't been fun for so long, so I would take fun.
They were fun. Look, they were fun during that 2012-13 season.
Yeah.
When Jason Kidd was around and Rashid was around. That was a fun team. It was a weird team, but it was a fun team. And they were fun for the first half of 2010 when Amari and Dello and Wilson Chandler and Landry Fields were all doing their thing. That was a fun team also.
And that 11-game span where Jeremy Lin would like lit up the world, that was fun.
Yes, Lin's sanity was very fun, but it was doomed to end because it was just all too weird. But that was a fun team also.
And when we were 14-8 this year, it was kind of fun.
14-10.
14-10. Yeah.
14-10. Yeah, they were pretty fun for a stretch there. It didn't last.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no, it did not last. The what do you think of a guy like Kuz? Do you think he has any serious future with the Knicks or serious future as like in the NBA? Like, can he be a really, really solid guy? Yeah.
He's 27 already.
Yeah.
He's not that good right now. I mean, you know, he's fun to watch, but he's not that good. And he's already 27. They've got him on a relatively cheap deal, and they can keep him. So, you know, that's fine. And Kylo Quinn, you know, is a fine, functional big on a cheap contract. That's also a fun player to keep around. And he likes to yell, and he has a good beard.
Yeah, so Jay, I was looking at the schedule going forward.
Is he?
Yes, Jay. Tell him what's coming up in like a week or two.
Well, starting tomorrow, I think we have the make-or-break stretch of the season pretty much. We have six.
Make or break tank wise, you mean?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. We have Orlando, Milwaukee, Detroit, Brooklyn, Indiana, Brooklyn. So,
they go 2-4 in that stretch. I think they've got a good, solid tank position.
Because, here's what comes after that, Jay. Read the rest of the schedule.
We have 13 straight losable games in a row to end the season after that. So, if we can do bad for the next six, listen to this. We got. Clippers.
All right. Guys, I just want to dissuade you from one thing.
Yeah.
Avoid the first person plural. It'll make your lives so much better. Don't say we.
It's such a tendency to say it.
I know.
They. They do. Not we. We have full lives filled with our own problems and relationships and needs and wants that have nothing to do with this garbage basketball team.
It'd be nice if we were worth billions of dollars.
Yes, we are not. They are. They. Trust me. It may seem like a minor linguistic difference, but I think it'll make your life so much better. Look, I watched the game today. They lost. Good for the tank. They played well for stretches. That was fun. They played well for stretches. Not me. Me and them did not play well for stretches. Collectively. They did it. It's an entertainment program that I watched on a TV. And it was over. And the end.
Does it make the hurting less?
I do not live or die by this. Do not. You know, hold on tightly, let go lightly. That's not to go all full Ram Dass, but that's my motto here.
I like it. It'll probably make me less sad at night.
Yes! Yes, your self-worth is not determined by this sports ball team. It really isn't.
It'd be really bad
anyway,
if it was.
Carry on. The schedule that they have is...
All right, starting on the 20th, they have... Clippers, Jazz, Blazers, Spurs, Pistons, Heat, Celtics, Bulls, Wizards, Grizzlies, Raptors, and Sixers to end the season. They could theoretically lose the last 13 games of the season.
Very easily.
That is a major, major slip and slide, beautiful run to a high
tank. Look, they could inadvertent tank or what? I and a bunch of people were calling it a stealth tank at the beginning of the year, but now it's not that stealthy. It looks pretty good. I mean, they've got 25 wins now. If they get 5 wins the rest of the year, I'll be pretty impressed.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, it would be, I hate to say it'd be awesome, but like, I kind of want to rebuild and like, that would be getting towards a rebuild. Yeah.
They need another player who's growth curve aligns with Porzingis's, and maybe they'll be able to get that this year. From all the things the experts are saying, it looks like a loaded draft. So great. It's okay.
Yeah.
Look, you can watch the games and don't worry about wins or losses. They're irrelevant. Just enjoy watching.
I asked you before we started the show, what you appreciated better, the Knicks or Trump? And I want to allow you to finish your answer about that.
Oh, it's very simple. Look, one has the potential to end humanity as we know it, and the other is just the Knicks. The Knicks have always been bad. I mean, look, we've screwed up really badly with the current quote-unquote president. It's a daily nightmare. It's a torture. It's horrific. The Knicks are bad. I don't care about the Knicks. It's fine. I'm happy.
Would you be okay if Trump, let's say Trump leaves the presidency for whatever reason, say Russia, would you be happy if he took over the Knicks?
God, I'm trying to think about how he'd fuck that up. Look, a useless shitheel like James Dolan managed to not, like, still turn a massive profit. I can't see how he could do any worse.
Yeah, I would think Trump would be, I would take Trump over Dolan.
There are some similarities there. They're both morons. And they both, like, you know, were born on third base and think they hit a triple. And they're both arrogant shits. There are their shared similarities. Trump, by the way, Dolan, by the way, donated massive amounts of money to Donald Trump's transition team and his campaign.
Of course.
In case you were wondering, would he be such a shitheel as to donate to Donald Trump? The answer is yes.
I did not know that.
I had seen that. I'm not surprised at all because rich kids donate to each other.
I feel like Trump would actually hire an expert to run the Knicks, though.
See, I'm also pissed about, like, Dolan not giving enough money. Because if he gave enough, maybe someone could throw him an ambassadorship, like Woody Johnson.
I know, seriously.
Get him out of there.
Make
James Dolan ambassador to Burkina Faso or something like that. And then, you know, the stick Michael taking over for George Steinbrenner. Maybe they get a caretaker in there who could actually do some good. But no, he actually had to be enough of a skinflint that he couldn't pay his way into a cushy government gig. He can't even, like, do graft right. That's how bad James Dolan is.
And I, I think our time is nearing the end. We don't want to keep you too long. But what was your take? I want to hear your take on Oakley, the Oakley situation.
Oh, God. Only the Knicks would throw one of the more beloved players of the last
ever
40 years. would throw him in jail for daring to sit too close to the owner. Look, the Knicks have a history of this. There are more than their fair share of stories of MSG security acting with an incredibly heavy hand. I don't even remember this. There was a Nets super fan a couple of years ago. He was the kind of guy who'd go to Barclays and shout and cheer for the Nets. And he went to a Knicks game at MSG. And he was getting, he was being his usual loud, boisterous self, but like nothing outside of usual fan behavior. And MSG security decided to remove him. And first he said, wait, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just, being a fan. And when he wouldn't bend, they ended up like dragging him out of the arena by his arms and legs. By the way, this guy also had a prosthetic leg, which they left in the arena. But they also banged his head on the stairs going out of the arena.
God.
And 2 months later, he was dealing with some personality differences, suffering from brain trauma, and he killed himself.
Oh, wow.
Wow, your story got real dark real fast.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, it did. And when it happened, MSG security lied in the same way that, the MSG press machine, drove into action when the Oakley situation was happening, interviewing random security people but not putting their name to it to say Oakley was being drunk and belligerent. They lied about what this guy was doing. They said he was that many people had complained about his behavior, and the people in the section around him said that wasn't true.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the guy jumped off a building.
Possibly
related to the fact that MSG security bopped his head. I mean, there's no way to definitively prove that. That's just the allegation that was made by, his friends who were understandably upset. But, MSG security had a history of behaving in this manner. And, whether it's Charles Oakley, who we all love, or somebody else.
Okay,
you and I, we all have worked for many companies in our lives. And no matter what the company is, it tends to take on the personality of the person in charge, regardless of whatever institutional memory or protocols are in place. And the Knicks have taken on the personality of the person in charge for a long, long time now. And that extends to, guys and retired cops and off-duty cops working MSG security. There's a fascinating post from a few years ago on a few police message boards about MSG security complaining that they're not allowed to carry their weapons when they're working this side gig.
Oh, my God.
I've been trying to break a story for a while now about MSG security. I haven't managed to get the story out there, but I'm still working on it. Then I stumbled upon this weird police message board where they're angry that they can't carry their guns into MSG, which I'm sure would only make a bad situation worse.
Yeah, it would have been pretty awful if the Oakley story was like, why did the Knicks security shoot him?
It very well could have been. If that were the case.
That would have been a much part.
MSG is like, yeah, you can do what you want, but no guns. So kudos to MSG for that.
Yeah, so in some respect, we have to thank James Dolan for not killing one of his former players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, but look, that was... It was amazing the degree to which... Look, let's say it's a bad situation. Let's take MSG at their word. Let's say Oak was acting in a belligerent way. Okay, you have to remove him. Fine. How do you handle that? And what MSG did, which is what they always do, is they made an awful situation, which should have been maybe a one-day story, into an entire week of nonsense in which the commissioner and Michael Jordan had to be dragged in for a whole sit-down, and Oak is still going on the radio a week later, and then he's trolling the Knicks by showing up in Cleveland. All they had to do afterwards was say they removed him. You don't need to drag him to the police. You don't need to press charges. What you do is say, look, Charles Oakley is a beloved Nick. An incident developed, and we are sorry that it happened. Done. The end. And it's over. Instead, they're issuing press releases saying he has a substance abuse problem, which is just an awful thing to do. Even if, again, taking MSG at their word, let's say it's true. What is gained by announcing that to the public? If you actually have any, if you actually care for another human being at all, why would you do that? If you think that another person, I mean, imagine this in your daily life. Imagine you have a friend who has a substance abuse problem. The last thing you're going to do is broadcast that to the national media. They made a terrible situation far worse than it had to be. No one is good at, is better at tripping over their own dick than the Knicks. And this was a prime example of that. It made me mad as you know, as a guy that loves Oak. Here's a slightly strange story that'll tell you how much I love Oak. Years ago, I was acting in a play, and myself and the director were huge Knicks fans, and the rest of the cast thought we were aliens because we enjoyed watching these pituitary cases and they run around the floor in their underwear for some reason. And it was the day that Oakley got traded for Marcus Camby. And we made the decision that we were going to let the entire audience in for free that night as a tribute to Charles Oakley. And it was the Charles Oakley Memorial production of that play. And we did. We gave everyone their money back. Because that's what Oak would have done.
That's awesome.
And again, the rest of the cast thought we were nuts. But we did it for Oak. In any case, I love Charles Oakley. He and Stark and Mace. Mace is still number one, but those are my three favorite Knicks from that period.
Yeah,
and
no.
We've said this for years. The Knicks are incapable of doing, like, stupid PR things right. They are incapable of glad-handing people. Like, look, Phil Jackson has made some moves that haven't panned out. That's okay. Many GMs make moves that do not pan out. But there's a PR way to, you know, do a press conference and answer questions. And, you know, you can give non-responses to those questions. But it makes it seem as if you realize the fans are pissed or worried or upset and you care. You don't have to actually care about what the fans think. You don't have to actually care what the press thinks. But there's a way to make everyone feel better and get a day or two's worth of, you know, nice stories out. And the Knicks are incapable of doing that. Instead, Phil Jackson, who claimed that he wanted to get rid, you know, create a transparent atmosphere, is doing the same hide-and-seek act that every Knick GM has done for years, except for Donnie Walsh, who kind of, you know, tried to change things. And they can't even do that right. And instead, he's, you know, issuing, you know, writing bad tweets. They're terrible at doing these stupid things. And these stupid things, they don't mean anything, but they kind of do. They're indicative of systemic dysfunction.
Right. I think free agents look at all this stuff and...
Oh, of course they do. Of course they do. Look, choosing to play in New York, all things considered, you're going to have a greater spotlight than if you're playing in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a given. There are a lot more press people in New York. There are a lot more eyeballs on New York. So when things are bad and you know, a story like the Oakley story or any of the, you know, drama that has been caused by the team this season is going to get more oxygen than in a lot of other places. So you have to want that. Now, granted, the payoff, if you actually are on a good team, is immeasurable. Look, you know, Derek Jeter was on a stretch of really great Yankee teams and then, you know, kind of mediocre Yankee teams for over a decade after that. But nobody remembers that. You know, or a stretch of intermittently good but not great Yankee teams for a while. But, you know, nobody can watch the shine off Derek Jeter.
Yeah, it's true.
The payoff, if you're good, if you're in New York, is you're a legend. And that's just as unfair as the payoff, all the weird negative press that comes with being on terrible New York teams.
But yeah, I'm sure. No one complains about the price when your team is playing well.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't – there are players who will not want to deal with all that bullshit. Okay. And the Knicks have given them very reason to say, like, hi, we're a competent, stable organization. Whether that translates into wins right now, we are doing things the right way. And like I said, you know, again, I'll say the greatest trick that David Stern ever pulled is figuring out how to make the NBA wildly profitable regardless of population center. There is no need for anyone to play in New York or L.A. or Chicago to be a national figure.
Are you saying you think David Stern's the devil?
That's almost anti-Semitic. I got to call that out. Are you saying all Jews are the devil? That's what you're saying, right?
I don't think I was going quite there.
I wear a hat to cover up my horns. Doesn't mean I'm safe. All right.
Are you? By the way, are you just on a different? A last note. Are you excited for the return of the triangle?
They weren't running that much today. I don't know. They have been running more triangle sets of late. I'm just so sick of the talk of it. I don't want to hear about the triangle ever again. I hate it. Hate it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing about it. It's so boring.
Do you think in the 5 years that Phil Jackson will be here, on the last game of the fifth season, like game 82, will the Knicks we finally got the triangle?
Well, that'd be funny. I hope so. That'd be a good ending. It's like the Aristocrats joke. That'd be great.
That'd be awesome. They'd be finally like, okay, we got it. After all this, everything that went through, every bit of a disaster, we feel like we got it, and Phil Jackson now is leaving, and we'll immediately abandon it.
The Aristocrats.
Yes.
all right, guys. Have we covered everything?
Yeah, I think we covered everything. Thank you so much for joining us.
Got it, guys. My pleasure.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
There's an article I have up at vocative.com you might want to check out. There's a guy who's the Woj of Europe, and I did some interviews with him and wrote a profile of him, and it's a cool story about how your basketball rumor and or free agent information sausage gets made. So if you want to check that out, you can go to vocative.com or look me up on the Twitter machine at Bob Saietta, BobSaietta, and read the words I wrote because they're pretty neat.
I'm going to check it out. Let me just ask you, just I don't want to ruin the article, but is the first part of it you make up your own sources?
No, you don't.
Okay,
no, you don't. You do not make up anything.
Okay.
But you do some a little horse trading here and there. There are some interesting ethical boundaries, let's say, that occasionally get crossed.
What? Give us a quick example.
Like, sometimes you will not just report on which players are going where, but you'll have in your hand a list of available players and advise the people you're ostensibly reporting on about what players they should look into signing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh.
Yeah, some interesting stuff.
Oh, that is really interesting.
Yeah. Also, the dude is located in Israel, so he's working crazy hours because he's got to deal with Americans who are, 8 hours in front of him or even 10, and then, Chinese basketball league signings that are 6 hours ahead. So he's working a crazy schedule.
Aye.
he works harder than any of us could ever imagine to get the scoops.
I hope it is working out for him. Because that's crazy hard. That's good. Good for him.
Yeah.
Awesome. So everyone check that out. Vocative.com. Check out Robert Silverman on Twitter, Bob Saietta. And thank you again for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. We've never had a happy podcast. Maybe we will. Maybe sometime it'll all be like, tripping through the forest, sprinkling our magic fairy pixie dust hither and yonder. Maybe.
If we could have you right after the Knicks win the draft lottery, That'll be a good
yeah,
show.
Sure. If we're in the draft lottery, I'll come on and say it was all worth it, you guys.
That would be an amazing show.
You never know. Maybe we'll have a frozen envelope type of situation going on, and then we could all rejoice.
Are you questioning the integrity of the accounting firm of Ernst & Young?
Could we get the accounting firm that did the Academy
That's
Awards?
PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Yeah.
Those guys are. That was just because there was one dude who wouldn't stop tweeting, thus violating the great never tweet rule, and that's what screwed it all up. Ernst & Young has this on lockdown. PricewaterhouseCoopers bad, Ernst & Young good. That's what we've learned.
Okay. Whoever gives it to the Knicks, I'll just say they're good. But yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
All right. So that was Robert Silverman, everybody. We're going to do a few questions before we end the show.
Also want to do our live read. Is Robert still here or?
Yeah, I'm still here.
No, well, we don't want to keep you.
It's late enough as it is. Give me a question. Whatever. I didn't know when to hang up.
No, I mean,
at the cyber.
You said you wanted. You said you wanted to do a shorter show, so we said we would keep you for a little while and then do the questions after you left.
We failed at the failing.
Well, now you're in. Now you're in for the long haul.
Okay. Facebook questions. Ralph writes, when are you going to realize the Knicks will not try to lose games? It may happen, but not because they want it that way.
I've always realized that.
All right.
Look up. Ralph writes, Lance Thomas was amazing last game. He makes the tank much harder. What do you think of what Lance Thomas is doing?
I think it's taken him a while to get healthy. I think he's still dealing with plantar fasciitis, and you know, he shot well from three. He's a willing defender, and you know, his contract looks a little weird because, you know, it seems weird to offer 4 years, $24 million to a dude. The best description that I ever heard of Lance Thomas is that he looks like someone did one of those flip book things, you know, when you make a flip book and you do a drawing on each page. Someone did a flip book of the basketball player, but when they were binding the book, every page is slightly out of alignment. So when you flip it, it sort of like stops and starts, and it sort of jags all over the place. That's Lance Thomas as a basketball player. It never looks smooth. It looks like a broken flip book. But he's fine. Lance is not impacting the tank at all. Lance Thomas' good games are whatever. It has zero impact on the Knicks' total tank ability.
I think if Lance Thomas could just spend one summer figuring out how to shoot, he'd be such a nice piece to have.
He can shoot. He's a 43% three-point shooter.
So
it's these drives to the rim where he suddenly thinks he's Kobe Bryant that kind of get Lance in trouble.
Yeah, I meant the inside the arc, basically. Yeah, driving to the basket where he looks awkward. And like, he's not going to ever look like Rose, but if he could drive to the basket and like kind of finish, he'd be a lot better player.
No, he's not going to learn that. He just doesn't have that ability.
He's 27, 28? It's probably not happening at this point.
Yeah, he's 28. Lance Thomas's basketball abilities are pretty baked in at this point. But they're fine. Not a great athlete.
He's a solid defender.
Smart player. Sometimes doesn't know his limitations. But Lance Thomas is a fine guy to have on the team and has zero impact on the tank moving forward.
I mean, solid defender is a high compliment on the Knicks team. So
yeah, there are two, maybe three, four, depending on how you feel about Kristaps in any given moment, plus defenders on the team. Lance, Courtney Lee, Ron Baker, and him, and that's it. And I don't know if you want to call them a plus defender, just not a glaring negative defender.
Yeah, I was going to say plus defender seemed kind of strong. If we could hit like league average, replacement level defender would be solid for our team.
Yeah.
Derek Rice.
That's it.
Derek Rice, not only is Rose going to bring us to the playoffs, but he thinks he's going to learn how to shoot threes better in the process. And then he links to an article that says Rose is preparing his three-point shot for the playoffs.
Yeah, I saw that. That was fun.
Do you think Rose like said that as like, Ha ha, got you guys. Like trolling the media?
I think Derrick Rose... it's been an experience rooting for Derrick Rose this year. Derrick is bad at saying words. I don't know what he meant. I don't think it was as thought out enough to be considered an actual troll. I think Derrick Rose has been working on a three-point shot and did a bad job of framing how that shot, which he's never actually had the entirety of his professional career, might be unleashed.
And you have to think, I mean, he really wants to win games now, so he still
he
is
does.
Going to the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, look. We as fans can root for a tank. We can take this brutal calculus and say, yeah, they should lose. Professional people are not going to do that. You know, guys, they like winning, and they're not going to throw in the towel. And they have to keep framing this in very improbable terms. And so Derrick Rose can say things like that and actually believe them. I don't think it was a troll. I think he actually thinks the team can make the playoffs, so we can laugh at that. But you can't function on a pro team if you think this is all just, you know, the equivalent of a Ponzi scheme. There's no way to go to work every day and do that. I think this team thinks they can make the playoffs. I think they want to try to do that. They want to succeed, but you can understand him saying kind of patently ridiculous things like that. It's okay.
I don't know if you
I don't think it's trolling.
I know professional athletes, they're not going to try to actively tank while they're on the court, but I don't know if you caught the clip from earlier in the week of Okafor playing defense. There was a sequence of him playing defense for the Sixers.
Yeah, I saw that. That was bad.
Where he might have actively tried to lose the game. Like, he just was like...
That was some Barnes-level shit. That was some Bargnani shit that he pulled there.
My theory is that he was...
I had Bargnani Amari flashbacks watching that.
He had to have been baked, right?
It looked like it just looked like he was watching the game on the couch with me while he was on the court.
I think he might just be that. Look, have you seen the videos of Barnes jumping when there's no one within distance, right?
He wasn't
on the dope. He's just bad at that. And when you're playing against the top 0.0001% of professional basketball players in the world, doing something patently silly can make you look... You can be baited into doing something very bad. He's not on the dope, okay?
Are you sure? I've been baked before, and things seemed like
so
they were moving a little too fast.
So Jay has alleged with no factual basis that they look like he was using dope on the court.
Not using dope on the court.
Okay, Alejandro writes, discuss the upcoming draft, and the whole instead of doing that, we're going to have someone on the show in a couple weeks who's going to go through the draft a lot more, so let's hold off on that draft.
He's a draft expert. He knows a lot more than us, so we'll do that.
I am not a draft expert. He consists of, like, refreshing some websites.
Yeah.
Yeah, so none of us, yeah. So Spiros writes, which guys do you want the Knicks to re-sign for next season? I want us to re-sign Holiday, but I'm sure we will let him go to the Cavs or something for a minimum contract.
Justin Holiday feels like a future Spur to me. He feels like a guy the Spurs snag and then becomes like Danny Green good. Re-signed. The only guy who's a free agent who they really need to get is Holiday, and he's going to cost them.
What do you think? What kind of contract?
Lance Thomas Land. You know, 4 years, 24. And it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're basically paying our fourth best center $18 million a year.
I think Ron has a non-guaranteed or a partial team guarantee for next year, so I hope they invoke that. And I hope they keep Chase on Randall, even though he hasn't played at all.
There's a rumor they're going to tear up Noah's contract and give him a max deal instead.
Well, I wanted the Joachim thing to work out because Joachim is such a New York guy. But boy, oh boy, is that a stinker.
Did you? So Jay and I thought the Joachim contract was not going to work out the moment we heard about it.
Everyone thought. Every single impartial observer thought that was a ridiculous contract to sign.
I've heard some people in the New York Knicks media who thought it was a good contract and thought it could work out and were surprised.
Name names.
I don't want to insult anyone. I'm not going to leave off.
Name names.
Does it rhyme with Rami B?
Tommy D is a big fan of his contract.
Oh, that guy. Whatever.
Yeah. I just heard his view on it, and just thinking he thinks that the Knicks didn't give him the contract. The market dictated the contract, and he took a discount to come to the Knicks. And
oh god, don't listen to that guy. He's That's not an actual one. That's not an impartial observer. Two, that's not an actual journalist. Don't.
He has some interesting takes on things.
Yeah.
He also thinks the Knicks should trade draft picks because we have 20 draft picks for the next 10 drafts, and we can't keep 20 guys in the team, so we should trade draft picks.
All right, let's just leave that dude alone. When the contract was announced, everyone who has no stake in the Knicks thought it was a ridiculous contract. I thought it was ridiculous. Everyone with two brain cells to rub together thought it was ridiculous.
Actually, in fairness, Jay here actually thought it wasn't a bad deal until he realized it was more than 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year. Look. Let's say they gave him 2 years, $18 million per. I would have said, okay, fine. Roll the dice so he can get healthy. It's not terrible. 4 years. It's not a millstone, but it's one of the worst free agent signings this year.
It's got to be top five worst Knicks contracts of all time.
No, it's not top five.
Really?
Amari
was really bad, but in fairness to Amari, first of all, Amari was like all-star level for the first thing until Melo got here.
Look,
and
Eddie Curry was worse. All right, we can go back in time. There have been worse contracts given out by the Knicks.
Even Eddie Curry had a limited time when he was a Knick where he was pretty good.
James!
That's the end of the list, though. You got three.
Yeah, I mean, even got three.
Eddie Curry, Jerome James,
Marbury. He was good for a while, a little while.
They extended Marbs.
I mean, Noah has been
Jared
good for
Jeffries.
Like two games here.
Yeah, that's the thing. All those guys you mentioned had one good season for the Knicks.
They had some moment where you liked them on the team. Noah has been a disaster from moment one. He's had a couple decent games, but like that might be his entire 4 year tenure. There's a couple decent games.
Jerome Williams. Jamal Crawford.
Allen Houston's was really bad, too.
Allen Houston.
Allen Houston's a pretty bad one. It's fun going through the terrible contracts in the Knicks.
It's weird. They haven't signed that. It's a strange thing. The Knicks don't sign that many free agents.
But when they do, oh, boy.
It's a bad. I wouldn't call it top five worst, but top 10. Yeah, sure, fine.
Daniel writes, "Is the fact we are pretty much on par with the 76ers confirmation?"
What was that pronoun you used?
Is the fact that we are pretty
what
much?
What was the pronoun you used?
I'm reading the question from the guy on Facebook. I understand you.
Okay. Oh, no, we read the questions exactly as they're written.
Oh, my God.
So writer beware.
I will fix. Daniel writes, is the fact that the Knicks are pretty much on par with the 76ers confirmation a full process-style rebuild is needed, or a warning that tanking doesn't always work out. Philly has been tanking for years. Philly has been tanking for years, and they still can only barely beat the dumpster fire that is the Knicks. How pissed will you be if it was us in 3 years or 4 years' time?
If it was who?
The Knicks. If it was a team you root for, the Knicks. If we were watching the Knicks for 3 or 4 more years, and they were like Philly 3 or 4 more years from now, how pissed would you be?
Well, look. I have some thoughts about the process. I think all right. Before we get into the whole dissertation of the process, which is something, another topic in and of itself, I just want them to behave like a normal basketball team and not, again, like I said, step on their own dick.
Who's a better GM, Hinkie or Phil Jackson?
Hinkie is, but Brian Colangelo is worse. Look, say what you will about Phil Jackson, he would not give away Nerlens Noel for 2 second-round picks, because that's
really
what that's going to be.
Yeah, that was a garbage trade.
Noel already looks awesome in Dallas.
Nor would Phil Jackson give money to Gerald Henderson and Sergio Rodriguez. Brian Colangelo is very bad at his job. He is worse than Phil Jackson.
Yeah, how pissed is Philly? How pissed you can be with a Philly fan when Embiid never really has a career going forward? Even though he looks like he could be an all-star, but his injuries will just derail his career, and then Noel turns out to be like all-star level talent.
Look, there's, you know, we talked about this before. There's big players with foot issues. I mean, they don't last. I mean, you hold on to Noel, and you pay Noel, you know, 5 years, $90 million if you need to. They have the cap space to do that. You don't trade him for pennies on the dollar. That was psychotically bad. Not for Andrew Pizzagate Bogut. You don't do that.
Yeah, that was a... I mean, at least if they had done Okafor, you could have said Okafor.
Yeah. Look, if they cut bait on Okafor, you go, okay, fine. It was a draft pick that didn't work out. Look, everyone would have been fine. There were a lot of people rating Okafor very high as of, you know, June 2015. It didn't work out. Maybe more people should have seen the warning signs, but they didn't. That's okay. But Noel has actually played productive basketball. Okafor never has.
Yeah. Bruno writes. Oh, well, I guess, so do you think, would you be okay if the Knicks said they went to like 2 or 3 years of tank the way the Sixers are doing? Would you feel like that would work out? Like, would that be a good strategy?
I mean, I think there's a point between what Philly did and trying to build a team. Look, most teams in the NBA are trying to build, and there are ways to go about it. I think they should have traded Melo a couple of years ago. They didn't. They'll give it another shot this summer, I think. But again, it's just a question of competence. I want to see a clear, coherent plan. And we haven't seen it yet.
Still saving that for season 5. Bruno writes, if the Knicks, he has 3 questions. I'll ask all 3 of them. First one, if the Knicks blow the tank and find themselves in a position not to select a point guard, what position do you think we should draft? And he says, I would go with a small forward, power forward like Mike Bridges or Jason Tatum or Josh Jackson to play Melo's position, since I think he's going to get traded in the offseason. So what position do you think they should...
I don't know. Best player available. I haven't really... I'm not an expert on the draft. I can't say.
Okay. 2, If that happens, do you think it's a good idea to resign Rose if he considers a reasonable contract for 2 or 3 years?
No, I don't want Rose anywhere near this team.
And he says, I would think about it because I think Rose won't get near the value he thinks he's going to get. And if we can, if the Knicks commit to him in a relatively short contract.
No, okay. No. Derek, okay, no. Fine. No, yeah. I want Derek Rose nowhere near this team.
Three. Is it only me, or does it seem like KP is kind of taking a shot at his teammates by mentioning that the triangle works, but only if everybody commits to it? Early in the season,
I think KP will say any press friendly thing that I refer again to the kicking puppies offense. I really don't think you should read too much into it.
Yeah, it does seem like he will just say, if Melo's on the team, Melo's great for me. If Melo got traded, he'd be like, I'm glad.
Look, I think KP does trust and value Melo's input, and I think that's good. And I think there are reasons to like Melo. Look, I think the criticism of Melo is over the mark. He is the player he is, and we can all be critical of him for not being the player he's not. But he is what he is, and I think KP values him in ways that he should be valued. But all these, you know, these press quotes are meaningless. All of this is just, it's noise. It really doesn't mean much.
Jay writes, not Jay from the show, but Jay on Facebook writes, if we beat the Warriors today, we have a chance to get the 8th seed and get in the playoffs. let's go to the next one. Alan writes, I listened to the last show. I was disappointed in your talk about Frank Nicotina. I think he's the joint third point guard in the draft. Futz and Ball are 1 and 2. I've seen him play a bit. My strength. So Alan goes through his strengths and weaknesses of this player. Here's the thing. We don't know a lot about Frank Nicotina. We're going to have someone talk about the draft in a few episodes. And when it gets closer to the draft time, we'll talk more about the draft players. Jay and I will – Jay, you'll admit, you know, Jack about these players.
Nothing.
I would say the same. So we apologize. We don't know enough about these guys. We'll do more research, and we'll talk more about them even mildly intelligently later in a couple of weeks. Alan also writes, I'm happy if the Knicks draft anyone in the top 10. We'll expect Jonathan Isaac. And he also writes, hopefully the Knicks have a good tank game against the Warriors. Plus, we'll get a back-to-back tomorrow with a rest-up Magic. Could be a top 5 pick by tomorrow night.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
The Magic are a mess. Speaking of messed-up rebuilds, boy, they've copulated that game.
What teams do you think are more of a disaster than the Knicks?
The Kings.
Yeah.
The Sacramento Kings. I mean, name the Sacramento Kings' best player.
Cauley-Stein.
Yeah.
Rudy Gay. Who's out for the season?
Coming off an Achilles injury, Rudy Gay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where Sacramento.
No, look. Say what you want about the Knicks. They've got KP. They're not the Sacramento Kings.
What about the Orlando? Are they a bigger mess?
They're a mess, too. They've got no one.
Yeah. The did you like the not for Sacramento? But do you think it's going to work? They get Anthony Davis plus Boogie. Is there a chance that's going to work?
There is. I mean, again, I'll go back to the chat, the panel that I did, and Howard was very down on DeMarcus. But for that team, you roll that dice and go with it. I hope it does because I like Boogie and I like AD, and I hope it works out. And New Orleans is a cool city, so I hope that works out. I think it could.
Yeah, if Drew Holiday stays there, they can build some pieces around him.
Yeah. And for all those hoping that Drew will, like, you know, come to the Knicks,
I mean, he hasn't been very. The thing is, also, he has a terrible history of like injuries. That he gets here, he'll be
that
injured.
That too.
I'm pretty sure even if you add a healthy Drew Holiday here, and he's everything we thought he'd be, the Knicks are still gonna be pretty bad. They're not gonna be like they're not taking it to the next level by just adding Drew Holiday.
Yeah, probably not.
Jay, are there any Twitter or email questions, or are we out of questions?
We have one email question, nynickspodcast@gmail.com. Sam writes, George Hill, Jeff Teague, Drew Holiday, who should we go after this summer? Also, Lance is playing great.
He had a four-game sample. It's not like Lance is playing great. He's had four good games. Jesus Christ, it's small sample theater. Drew's the best of the bunch. I don't think they're going to sign any of them. The end.
Yeah, I don't want any of them. Drew is way too injured. And yeah, that's about
it. He's going to sign an extension with Utah anyway, so that's out. I mean,
and Hill's going to be like 31 anyway.
Overrated, but that's just me.
This is what I feel is going to happen, is that he's going to go through all these guys. They're all going to not work out. And Phil's going to be like, around August, and be like, hey, Rose, how about 3 or 4 years at $80 or $90 million? What do you think?
Oh, God.
That's a horrible thing to say.
How dare you?
All right, guys.
Okay. Thanks for joining us. Yeah. Thank you for joining us, and thanks for sticking around for the questions. Sorry for making you stay a little bit long.
No, it's okay. I'm all here.
Okay, cool.
All right, we'll be back next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and check out the other podcasts on the Almighty Bowler Network, almightybowler.com, and check out Robert Silverman's newest article. What was that website again?
Vocative.com, VOCATIV.com.
There you go. All right.
Learn how rumors actually work.
Yep.
The sausage gets made.
Sounds good. Goodbye, everybody.
This is the end. Say goodbye. You better go away. I'm gonna leave you. It's the end. Goodbye. Goodbye. Just leave me alone. Feels so good to say goodbye. I'm sick and tired and I'm saying goodbye. Goodbye, girl. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Everybody.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.